Cliffcentral. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to the Futurology Show, proudly brought to you by MTN Business. Hello, B2.
Hey, B1. How you doing?
Okay, and you?
Another day.
Another day. You know, I really do love Mondays because, like, we get to hang out.
It is cool.
It is cool. Like, everyone looks like, Monday. I'm like, Monday is awesome.
I'm still like that for the first couple of hours of the day. I must confess.
It's called coffee, buddy. It's a quick cure. So the Olympics is over. I'm not quite really sure what else to, but even though it's not my app of the week, did you
everybody
play
can get
the
back
game?
To Pokemoning.
No, but did you play the Rio Olympic game? Shit, it's good.
No, I didn't.
Okay, so download it. Okay. Have fun. Like, remember and all those good things.
Is it still going to be available?
I'm sure. I mean, they must have spent good tin on that. It's a great game.
Okay,
so,
cool.
My app of the week, it's actually not an app. It's a Google Chrome extension, okay? And it's called All in One. And I just thought with today's show, and we're going to be talking about efficiency and all those good things just now.
Well, those are those gestures. And
No. What it does, it looks like, the best way to describe it is like Hootsuite. It's a dashboard for your messaging and your IM contacts. So WhatsApp, Skype,
cool.
Twitter,
so it aggregates it all into one space.
It all comes
That's
into one space.
Fantastic.
I've actually got it open now. So like it all sits there and everything comes through at the same time. So it's not an app per se, but I think I was talking to someone actually on the show and a few weeks back afterwards, and I was just moaning about the fact that I can't actually consolidate all my messages. You know, when you're at birthdays and it's like, you get a message on Skype, Twitter, Messenger, BBM.
That's what
Boxer,
you used to like about
Viber.
Your BlackBerry is that you had that.
I still like my BlackBerry.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I still like my BlackBerry. So my app is All in One. As I said, you're not going to find it in the store, but if you use Chrome, just go into the Chrome store, the web extensions, and just type in All in One. So McDonald's, they entered and left the fitness tracker market. They were giving away... It was as quick as their drive-through, buddy. We're in fitness, we're out of fitness. It was like one of those.
Yeah, maybe, this is not our core.
Yeah, no, this just proves when you make stuff in China and you don't test it. Look, the idea was good. They were giving away these like little fitness tracker thingamajobbies for kids, the Happy Meal,
like,
and it just makes you take things, steps. Yeah. Yeah, more like a pedometer than a smartwatch. But you know, you could be like mommy and daddy. Was cool, funky colors. Actually, I looked at the picture; it was quite cool.
And then,
but. Kids were getting rashes. I mean, they obviously didn't make it with proper silicone or I don't know. So they had to recall it.
Oh, wow.
good idea, bad idea.
Just rub some sweet and sour barbecue sauce or something on it.
Would you like fries? Would you like fries, corn, or rash with that Happy Meal? So it ain't coming to South Africa. I suppose you can get your hands on one. Well, maybe you should touch it with gloves. It would be a collector's item.
That's insane.
In their defense, I mean, a big company.
How do you defend that? No, go for it.
No, I can. A big company. I think it's actually Intel for their first foray into wearables. They came up with a product called Peak, and that was burning guys' arms as well with a heart rate monitor.
Oh,
and
wow.
And that's like a big company.
Yeah.
Mind you, McDonald's is a big company as well, but they specialize in chips. So, not fries, chips. Okay, so I am going to go and bash Microsoft again.
Okay.
After trying to love
I'll
them
sit
last
back
week.
And watch this one.
No, I tell you, like, I'm seeing red thinking about it. So I went to speak last week. As you know, I was on a speaking tour down, and I went to KZN. And I go and do my final presentation. I got a packed auditorium.
I saw your tweet.
Did you see my tweet? And I try and plug my Mac into the machine, and it doesn't work. There's like my screen's like half up and half down. Now, the auditorium's filling up. And
the IT guy on hand is like, it's because you're using a Mac.
Yeah, well, they tried that one. I said, no, then you wouldn't see my screen. Oh, yeah, wait, maybe this room has got a bad machine that's controlling the projector. So I said, okay, will it work on a PC? So they said, yeah, do you have one? No. So I asked the client, they're not allowed to use flash drives, okay, no Dropbox, you know, the normal corporate rubbish. So I had to email it to them. So now we're sitting there watching all these people, and they're like, you know, we're trying to keep kids' attention. You got Pokemons to catch or listen to me talking crap. And we get the presentation, we email it, we hook up, and it works. There it is. So obviously Mac is superior to Windows, which we've always known. But I start clicking. Now, I promise you, I'm not that challenged. I can click an arrow. It wasn't like I was doing something different.
Did somebody come and give you support during
it
your talk?
It doesn't move. The slides don't move. They don't transition. That's so awesome. I'm like five slides ahead. I can see it on the machine, but it's not going from machine. This is in a Windows environment. So Microsoft,
it's not
you
like
suck.
You
So, yeah, I'm just going to
give you can have all the best content you want in the world, but if you don't have the good sort of infrastructure or bits to get it out there, then...
Yeah.
It's all about getting it done.
Well, it's just get it done right. I mean, anyway, so I'm like over it. I'm we divorced. I'm not even going to try and love them anymore. Okay. Then I saw quite a cool little article. So you know what USB Type-C is? The new MacBooks
yes,
got it.
Yes, very annoying new thing. The one to rule them all, apparently.
I don't know if it's annoying.
Well, it's annoying at the moment because I've had one device. I was like, oh, cool, yeah, just plug it in. It's like, it's USB-C.
I'm
like,
I kind of like the tech. But
it's just the teething. There's transition teething period.
So you're an audiophile. I mean, even rock up here with your own fancy headsets, okay? So the USB-C, if they replace the earphone jack with a USB-C, you'll get proper digital sound, okay? So that's quite cool. And then you can have input and output, so you can control and everything through USB-C. But then we go back to Apple, who's saying that they're going to come out with a lightning port version of their headset.
Of course they will.
So we'll lose
they
the 3.5.
Have to sell
accessories
somehow.
Yeah, I know, but you're still going to be like, which one do you carry?
I like your fairness here. You're bashing Microsoft. We can bash a little bit of Apple.
But Apple gets love straight away afterwards, so it's fine. At least our audio quality will be good. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out because, you know, this time of year, all the guys are launching their devices. We're expecting the new Samsung.
That's actually one good... We should have that on the show one day. It was like this lossy format of MP3 and like everybody's streaming like reduced bandwidth and all that stuff. Do we actually care about the quality of things anymore?
I don't think they do. I think it's consumption.
It's the spec chasing. Everybody wants the best spec and it's like more of a show-off brigade than it is an actual thing that people can discern.
Yeah, I have 50,000 songs. You don't have enough lives left to live to listen to 50,000 songs.
If you're a music producer and you actually care about the quality or high fidelity of your product, then come chat to us and let's see what you think about lossy formats.
Well, talking about coming to chat,
yes,
0861-555-189 or Twitter, cliffcentral.com or Facebook or WeChat.
Hashtag Futurology.
Thank you. So I'm actually going to turn on our guest, Mike, now. I'm going to actually introduce him now, and then I'm going to go back to my waffling, because last week I asked a question, and no one actually
Simon
answered
was the
it.
Only one listening. Yay!
Yes. Hey, so let's introduce Simon. Simon Hudson from Provulo. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys.
Welcome.
So I'll do like a formal introduction just now, because as you know, I like to talk crap, but I asked last week about the Star Wars Rogue chapter story thing, and you are a self-confessed Star Wars fan. You were telling us all fair, so please just explain to us where this thing lives.
You're a complete geek and go, it's Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
There we go. Correction.
Now, it sits between 3 and 4. I can't remember the title of 3. It's where the angsty teenager turns into Darth Vader, but and A New Hope. It's kind of the where the Death Star comes from, trying to get the plans where they eventually blow it up in number 4.
So in other words, it's Lucasfilm making cash.
Where the old new ones ended and the old ones started, it's in the middle of those ones. And then the new ones are the new trilogy at the very end
somewhat
of all of them.
Confusing.
Yes. Okay.
Right, so no one's actually really answered the question. So guys, just go and watch the freaking show for what it is. Love it. If you're a true fan, you'll know where it is. If you just like the cinematography like I do, go and enjoy the show. Okay, so VR this week is not quite VR, but this was awesome.
Is it virtually VR?
Well, it's 360 video, so I suppose you could put into headset. But Google came out with a project called Beyond the Map. So given the whole Olympics and that, what they did is they filmed. You can actually see when you watch the first one, they were using a halo on a tripod on the back of a motorbike. Uh-huh. And they drove all the way through like the really poor areas of Rio. So you actually got to see beyond the Copacabana and all the glamour of the front row. And it's just excellent cinematography. So I haven't tried to put it inside a VR headset, but it has full 360, up, down, left, right, behind the works.
That's awesome.
So it kind of falls
into... What happens when you look down? What are we looking at?
You look at the road. You're on a motorbike and these guys are like whipping and you hear sound coming out of someone's house and a dog barking.
Is it 360 audio as well?
I don't know. I didn't have a USB-C plugged in. I just had my Mac, so... I'm not sure, but definitely worth checking out. Just Google Beyond the Map. And then they have these like stories of people. Like there's one guy who wanted to do or does do ballet, but because he was worried he'd be called gay, he like told his mom he was going to surf.
I saw that.
It was fantastic. It's such a good production. There's another lady that works. It's just really, really good, nice, well-made production. And it fits into my VR because it's 360. So
excellent.
It just is, and I can because it's the mic. Pokemon Chronicles.
No.
So it's all downhill from here, but there's not even good. So it's not like Pornstar Go.
It's cool because I get to sit
back. Did you go watch it?
What's that?
Pornstar Go.
No.
Okay. Well, at least you're honest. I'm just going to plead the fifth. But I did see the trailer.
I may or may not have potentially at some point maybe considered potentially.
So if you change your location, so if you like go into geolocation services and you change it, you will be banned for life. So the next is a public...
Say that again? On Pokemon Go?
Yeah, if you change your location so that you can go to where there's Pokemon. So you can get these map apps and they tell you where there's Pokemon.
Yes.
Okay? So guys have been changing their location to make their phone think that they're there and then getting these Pokemon. So Niantic, which is the holding company, has now said if we find out that you've been doing that, because they can see... then you will be banned for life. So I'm thinking, banned for life from Pokemon for life. Yeah, can you imagine that? Like, you've been banned for life. But this is a public service announcement. If Anonymous is listening, please, pretty, pretty please, find everybody's phone that has Pokemon, go in and change their locations. And that's it, it'll be gone.
Just inverse the axes of the earth.
Yeah, just do something, okay?
Everybody running around like crazy.
Challenge accepted, you know? So, yeah. And then a Michigan couple has filed a class action suit against Niantic, Pokemon Go, Google, all and sundry, because for invasion of private property, because these people keep coming on the lawns. But wait, the lady came out and said something and the oak was like, off, bitch. She told her straight. It's like, this is my house. So I don't care. I'm after that Pokemon. So we have class action suits and we have banning for life in the Pokemon Chronicles this week.
She probably wanted the Pokemon, which is why she didn't let them in.
Yeah. Now, last week we chatted IoT. Okay, I mean, yes. You and I love IoT.
Yep.
Okay. So, it's Google have now, or I don't know if they've launched it. I couldn't find out properly, but they've launched something called Fuchsia OS, which is a color. And apparently, like if you
is go, it pink?
It's pink and salmon or something mixed in purple.
You have a son, I have a daughter.
Yeah. Okay.
I've learned to discern the shades of pink.
Right. So it's fuchsia, daddy.
Fuchsia.
But what they basically doing, they've said it won't replace Android. So we're not getting another OS that we have to build into, but it's going to be designed purely for the Internet of Things. So they're going to build a browser and an engine and an OS that can obviously go into devices, which makes sense because then you can bring all the Google algorithms straight through into IoT. So like Nico and his team at IoT Next. They could benefit from something.
That's
like
the awesome
that.
Thing about it at the moment. It's that it's just going to keep developing so fast. There's so many new things that'll come out of the new things that it's going to be a great space to keep watching.
Okay, so this one is scary. Have you got a tattoo?
No.
Do you have a tattoo, Simon? No. Okay. So no.
Have you got a tattoo?
No,
Brad?
I don't.
No.
I'm married. I have all my pain and suffering at any time I want. So.
Oh, Gail.
Going into robotics, all right? They've now taken a 3D print. So remember talking about that like tattoo you could stick on and
yes,
then it could...
Yes,
right,
temporary thing with the right. Electromagnetic.
So these guys have taken it further. They've taken a 3D printer.
Who is this now?
I don't know. Someone somewhere.
Oh, okay. It's not an informative part of the show. It's just a discussion part.
Just,
okay.
Yeah, it's just the chat part. But they've taken a 3D printer and they've put a tattoo gun into it.
Wow.
So you can get the most precise tattoo possible because this thing is 3D rendered. But they've said that there's a caution. You need to be able to stay very still and take the pain. Because when you move, the tattoo artist can kind of adapt to your movements and all this. It's a robot. It feels nothing for you or your pain. So you move and all of a sudden your tattoo could be from what was the most precise to the most... cuck tattoo you've ever had. So it'll be quite interesting. But it's just like the way these guys are thinking of moving robotics and machinery around. I found that quite a nice optimizing story.
And becoming more efficient even in pain.
Now Apple's made a move that I don't know if it's going to go so well. They are now working on an iOS release for their iPhones that will pick up that you're at a concert and stop your phone working from filming video. And their reason is that they're doing it for the benefit of the people that are going to concerts to actually enjoy the concert and are tired of seeing this wave of screens. Mm. And their rationale is also that the phone can't pick up the low lighting and the sound anyway. And you're sharing it on Facebook and you're actually just ruining the experience. So they basically have now, a patent's been filed on this tech that will stop your phone videoing at concerts.
So all the Android guys will be still filming.
Android. What phone do you have, Simon?
I'm on the dark side. Unfortunately, I have an iOS device.
It's not the dark side. That's a great device. You're in good company. So apparently they have like an infrared camera tech that sits on the stage that when the camera sees this, it will just kill your video function. So they're doing that. Cool. And Twitter went and suspended 360,000 accounts for terrorism and extremism. So they extremism. I don't know. Extreme. Google it. So that was the Twitterverse.
Okay.
Uber partnered with Volvo, and they're going to do the first driverless car in Pittsburgh, I think, next week.
So we're going to be opening the show with that one.
Yeah, but here's where it gets interesting. So there'll be a driver because you still need. And the CEO came on. He said, "Well, we're not going to cut jobs and all that."
There won't be a driver. There'll be an oak sweating bullets in the driver's seat.
No, there'll be two. There'll be the oak in the driver's seat and the oak in the passenger seat. But the thing is, like you're saying, "Oh, we're not going to cut jobs and all that." Obviously, they're going to cut jobs. Once this machine can learn how to drive itself, then they don't need observers to sit there and watch it. It's quite interesting that they partner with Volvo. They're an American company. They're testing in America, but they're running with Volvo. And I don't know if it's that whole mental, like, Volvo for life, you're married to it, it's safe. I don't know, but they roll out next week. And that's the end of my wondering and
That was good. I enjoyed that one. Yeah, it was a good mix of everything there. Nice one, Brett.
I just tried to find some nice stuff. Oh, thanks, Brett.
That was really good.
So you actually stayed awake this time, is what you
said. It was really nice. And the Pokemon Go was kept short and to the point.
Yeah, well, I'm getting over that now. Yeah,
Pokemon went.
Pokemon went. There's an app.
Yeah.
Pokemon went. So I did introduce you briefly, Simon. We have Simon Hudson with us today. He is the second of the Gartner Aspiring Innovators program participants, I suppose is the right word.
Good word.
Yep. So I always, I mean, you've heard the show, you've told me that before, so we have four listeners now. Your mom, my mom, Simon, and
well, you and me, else. I occasionally listen to you as well.
Okay, cool. So yeah, tell us about Provolo. In fact, where does the word come from?
I was trying to Google it. For a 5 to 7 letter snappy something.
That did you read that
taken.
Book as well?
Well, no, a bit longer in the business than what the book said. It's just I needed something that said professional or procurement or volume, and it was like, oh, that works.
Provolo.
Provolo.
It also sounds like something
I
you can have with melon.
I say Provolo.
Or a little blue tablet. Psh, you never know.
Hey. But it's the best
gets
thing
things
ever.
Things going.
So he's a Star Wars fan. He has to have the little awesome. Blue tablet. And that's the Trekkies, hey? Sorry.
Oh, it's caused trouble now. So, I'm going to give a counterpoint to what Nico was talking about last week. Is he's talking about the Internet of Things. We're actually about the Internet of People. Humans as a species, we've achieved some fantastic stuff. We put people on, men on the moon.
No, we didn't. That's a conspiracy.
Let's not go down that road. But we're really horrible at administration. We're, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, ticking the right box. It doesn't matter if you ask someone to do it, you've still got to ask someone to check it.
Yeah.
And you still got to get someone else to check it, and then they still screw it up. So, I'm going to go to the question you asked at the end of where did the idea come from? So actually, I spent 3-4 years as a tech exec for an insurance company, and the biggest frustration was the paperwork.
As a customer, the biggest frustration is the paperwork, let's be honest.
The biggest frustration was actually trying to claim money, but that involves a lot of paperwork, yes. And it was two pieces. It was the amount of paperwork or paper that we were using.
Yeah.
We had a fantastic office in Cape Town in the building where all the legal fraternity are, and it had a view out onto the mountain, and it was a storeroom. Okay, I mean, we had offices that would go through 20, 30,000 rands worth of paper a month.
It's ridiculous.
And they would still not, we had a call center in Midrand with 60, 70 people, and we'd still get stuff wrong. And then I left, left that business, did a bit of consulting work, and came across more than once. I was asked to help have a look at people's business processes. And it's just, a little light bulb came on and said, listen, there's got to be an easier way of doing this.
Yeah.
If someone has to take a piece of paper to someone else to say, you've got to action this, or you've got to send 20 emails to get an answer for a question. It's stuff that humans just aren't designed to do. So it's not engaging enough. So people forget about it and it gets lost.
It feels like a chore all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, I had the same issue with my bank this morning trying to get something done. And it's like, I know how to solve this problem and you're just not interested.
Yeah.
I don't even want to get started.
The A&Bs don't take you to 14.
I don't want to get started on banks. My bank offers a service of a take you home. The only problem is you probably have to book it like 7 months in advance, because I tried to use it on Saturday night and I phoned, and after pushing 1341111341 and getting cut off and doing it again, I get told, oh no, the first available is like 1:30 in the morning. I'm like, why? Because everyone's already dead and gone home. You know, I don't want to go home at 1:30 in the morning. By then I'll be sober.
The challenge we've got, and that leads straight from that, is that, you know, you can have a process. Is it good or not?
Yeah.
So a lot of the work we do is helping customers understand whether or not what they're doing is the right thing to do in the first place. And then secondly, is it the right way to go about it? You know, taking something online is not necessarily the best way to do it. There are portions that should sit with a human. There are portions where systems should talk to each other. I mean, Nico, again, was talking about integration and making sure that if you buy a device and it's the top tech today, and a year down the line, it's going to be right at the back of the queue. We do the same thing for software systems. So we help companies talk to their legacy accounting platforms, because people really don't like getting rid of that stuff and they don't like spending money. But by the same token, you know, we'll talk to the really big stuff. We'll talk to the massive ERP systems and make a little company look like it's got something a lot bigger behind it. Purely because, you know, you can make that process run professionally, and you can make people do the things that they have to do on the timeframes they're supposed to do it on.
So, you know, and again, I mean, you referenced Nico as well, and he was very hardware centric. If you think about it, I know he's built a great engine and he called it the Edge, and that. Is your service more about taking the existing infrastructure and or administration and then just making it actually do what it's supposed to do? Or is it more, do you have to consult? I mean, just take us through a journey like why a business would need you to come in and fix it.
So there's opposite ends of the spectrum on that one. I mean, I got one customer who has SAP. They've spent millions of rands implementing this platform. And I can say this because I've been a CIO and a financial service provider. They're really good at running finances, okay, and managing that sort of stuff, but they're really horrible at a lot of other things and really expensive. For these guys, it was a procurement solution, and they looked at it and they went, well, heck, we would have to spend a couple million buying SAP procurement. We'd have to go get someone to come in and set this thing up and do a whole bunch of software development for us, and it'd be a whole bunch more, and then I still got to buy all these licenses. And, you know, we're more about, well, what have you got now? How can we accommodate what you have?
Yeah.
How can we move the stuff through the process and make it work so that you can choose how you want to grow, rather than be forced into that massive spend where you don't actually know if it's going to work or not. And the whole, that also comes from my experience in the industry. I mean, and you bash Microsoft, and I used to be a big Microsoft fan, but now everything in the house is Apple-based.
Yay.
Okay. But that being said, I mean, my business would not have got started if it wasn't for the Microsoft BizSpark program. You know, they've provided all the server software and education and all those kind of things that make it good, or make it easy for a startup to get going.
Let me jump in there for a second. That's great. And last week or the week before, I was talking about one of the innovation labs, but there seems to be a disconnect between the guys that are thinking and providing or ideating in the solutions and the guys at the back that are actually supposed to make these solutions. Someone's missing a memo somewhere.
It's not missing a memo. I think the model for selling software and managing software doesn't work. One of the biggest things for me was I spent many, many millions of rands doing my Microsoft licensing. And this is, you can go Oracle, SAP, it doesn't really matter. It's across the board. And all I could do once I'd spent all of these millions of rands was send some mail and open a Word document. Mm. I had all of the stuff sitting there.
Not
I
at the same time, though, because it
crashes. Maybe. It depends, yeah. But, you know, I still had to go out and spend 4, 6, 10 times as much to build something that made use of all those tools, okay, that where I would actually start earning my money back. And for me, again, there was another light bulb moment, is that you shouldn't, one, be punished for how many people need to participate in your process. You know, if you've got one guy or you've got 2,000, the process is the process. It should cost what it costs to develop it. And two, you shouldn't have to jump through a bunch of hoops and get some outside help and rely on other people to run your processes for you. Now, yes, effectively, we do that for other people, but it's their process, it's their data. They tell us how they want it to run, and we deliver it to them in a format that they find easy to use.
Yeah,
but not bashing Microsoft for not being the software company that we need today versus what they were is the same as kind of bashing horses for not becoming motor cars.
No, I agree with you, Brett. And, you know what I mean? And Simon like said that, though.
Things change.
No, but he said, but yeah, you used the word there, change.
Yeah.
You use Simon like says.
Simon says. Simon says. Simon says. But the word is change and, or more importantly, innovate or adapt.
Yeah.
You know, that was a problem with Nokia. I loved Nokia phones. They were batteries, their design, everything. But when they were given the chance to move on to Android, they didn't. And they kept on with their Symbian. And guess what? They're no more.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're back again and blah, blah. But BlackBerry is the same.
Yeah.
They defended their OS as opposed to change and evolving into what people needed, because we're the guys that use the stuff. And that's what I mean with Microsoft. They haven't done anything.
Look, it's about change, though. Yeah. Nobody likes change. I mean, we're in the tech space.
As innovators, you're agents of it.
You know, you're agents of it, but there are still things, you know, I get grumpy when stuff doesn't work the way it used to.
Yeah.
100%.
And I mean, for me, one of Pravula's biggest challenges is trying to get people to give up the glue. You know, so Nico was talking about how he's the glue. They're the middleware.
Yes.
We're a glue stripper. You know, we take away all of that stuff that clogs up the processes. But my goodness, trying to get people to give up paper, give up email.
Yeah.
They'd rather be confused. Yeah. They'd rather like not be able to answer the question than to make their lives a little easier. It's the most amazing thing. It's, you know, lessons learned in running this business for the last 2 years.
You know, obviously just having a, you know, it's not about the bashing, but it is about being efficient and changing. That's one of the things you're doing. Maybe I can actually use your system to find my content that I'm supposed to be playing at the moment as well.
I've got to map out your process for me first. So it's a difficult one. I mean, the process we follow is to actually start really, really small.
Yes.
So we'll identify a pain point, or we'll get the customer to identify their biggest pain point in their business, and we'll tackle that first, and we'll prove the point.
Is that often the amount of money they spent on the legacy thing that you're possibly going to change?
The money is the other challenge. You know, the company will have no problem spending a couple million rand on a piece of software that they can't use, and then they'll moan at us because we want maybe 15-20% of that a year.
That's a similar story.
And but the thing, you know, you've got to sell the pain that you get rid of, not the actual piece of software or the solution. And we found the only way to convince people to change is to actually amp that up. So we'll give it to you for a few weeks, and then we'll take it away.
Create the demand.
And then you'll see that, you know, well, heck, we don't want to go back to the way we're going. And then, you know, to a large degree, we help customers discover what they don't know about their business. So they spend 6 months using the solution, and then they kind of start asking, well, if we can do this, can we do that?
Yes.
And then from there, you know,
more informed.
Yeah. More open to the use of technology to solve the problems. And the nice thing is, you know, I can tell you now, for all of our customers, 18 months, 24 months down the line, their solutions don't resemble what they started out with.
And they could never have planned it if they tried.
That's
the
thing. Yeah. They couldn't have sat down and gone through a 6-month business analysis process and gone, that's the problem we're going to solve, or this is the thing that the system is actually going to do for us.
Yeah.
They only discover it 12 months down the line.
Yeah. But that's one of the great things about innovation. It takes collaboration. If you relied on one person to innovate everything, it would be a boring, boring place. But once you get the client to a point where they can actually start adding value to their own end goal, it's hugely rewarding.
You hit the point on collaboration, though, because a lot of companies will go, ooh, it's the business and analysts. They must go draw up the solution for us and bring it to us.
Yeah.
And there's no feedback loop. There's no involvement. So, again, another one of the things that I got really irritated about with corporate culture is that now we go make a little change, ask people how it works, solicit their feedback. If they don't like it, we fix it. Or we change it completely, or we throw it away.
At least the option there is to fix it.
Yeah, and it's the people who are on the coalface that are the ones that get asked the question, does this work for our business or not? Because a lot of the time, and I've been guilty of this in the past, is kind of, we will do it this way because this is what we want to achieve. No, it doesn't work that way.
Brett, I'm going to try that again.
Cool.
I think I fixed my...
In the crux of our discussion.
Yes, in the crux of your discussion, because that way I can
hopefully you're all listening and you're
hanging
on the edge of every word we're saying. We'll be back.
I'll try that one again.
When you're growing a small business, meetings, telecons, and admin move into dinners, recitals, and bedtime stories. But we know you knew that. We know that between the successes and failures, the courage to continue is what counts. We also know that the right meetings, telecons, and admin means better dinners, recitals at the school you want, and great bedtime stories. The courage to grow is business. We've got the advisors, products, and solutions that enable you to do so. MTN Business. a new world of business.
Cool. So just picking up on your point, people are saying, and we're talking with Simon Hudson from Provulo, one of the aspiring innovators of Gartner 2016, and you guys are doing a great lot of stuff in services and how we can optimize and make things more efficient through innovation. We're talking about innovation. One of the things is people saying, well, I want to do it this way. And you say, well, that's not really the way you should be going. But tried and tested versus new and, oh my goodness, how do you get that sort of bridging the gap?
It's all about demonstration. So, you know, the framework that we've built, in which we put these processes on top of, is designed around the sort of Lego block concept.
Yes.
You know, so we're the green base and the customer solutions, all the little bricks that you put on top of, and lo and behold, you have a house. So
you hope sometimes.
Well, yes. Yeah. You have a Frank Lloyd Wright on the one side, and you have a.
But it's what the client wants.
It's what the client wants at the end of the day. So what we do is we will go to our customer and say, listen, we've done this elsewhere. Mm. Can we show you how it works there?
Yeah.
And then we'll tweak it for you if you actually need it. 95% of the time, they go, that's perfect. Because, you know, they like to think they've thought it through. We make it sure they believe it's their idea.
Yeah.
And we all move on and we're happy.
And you get the traditional mindset. So people saying, I must do this because my competitor's doing it. Or I'm not going to do that because my competitor's doing that. How do you guys... It's one thing to understand it. It's another thing to readily adopt it and say, right, let's embrace this. Look,
we like to think that we're delivering competitive advantage for our customers. In most cases, we are. In the engineering sector, I know that our client is the only one that's doing, well, their group companies are the only ones operating in the way that we've put in place for them.
Mm.
Same in the medical space where we're working. So, you know, efficiency means different things to different people. Some people, it's the ability to process more orders, it's to save more money, it's to get ahead of your competitor. How that works, I mean, we're just there to facilitate it. I'm lucky enough to have 20 plus years experience in the IT space and a lot of time spent in technology strategy. So it's easy enough to find the words to be persuasive at a board or an executive level to say, listen, perhaps you should be thinking about it this way rather than doing it any way else. And I think that's one of the advantages Provulo's got is a bunch of experience and the scars and having been on both sides of the table, having been the buyer, the seller. And I've also been the arbiter, the referee between those two parties in a previous life as well. So,
does Provulo actually have a proprietary offering per se? I mean, you know, I know we all take bits and pieces from somewhere, but... you know, I don't like to use software as a solution because it can be a bit of a swear word.
You can go down the whole business process as a service.
But I mean, everything as, you know. Is there certain techs that you work with and or have had to develop or did develop or needed to develop? You know, just maybe like someone's listening now, they think, you know what, I'm listening to the show. I'm sitting in that boat now where my business is not being efficient. We're finding administrative issues that are coming back and biting at us. You guys get caught in. You know, what is that first stage? Because I know you play in CRM, you play in invoice, you play in mail even. You know, now mail's even on its own is a discussion.
It is and it isn't. I mean, there are some really good providers in that space. We integrate as part of the mail chain for one of our customers to do guaranteed delivery because it's part of a procurement process that we have to know that the supplier at the end of the chain actually took the mail.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yes and no to answer your proprietary question.
Okay.
So everything we do is on the Microsoft platform.
And
we
here
don't
I
have
was it. Bashing it. Sorry, Microsoft.
It's Microsoft Server.
Okay, that's
fine. It's not the desktop.
Cool.
Okay? And they're very good in that space.
Well, we use the server.
Yeah. So it's you know, it's the server and the database platform. We use .NET. I mean, we don't use any third-party proprietary code or pieces of software where we can't see into them. But by the same token, we use all of the benefits that come with that Microsoft Server platform. We've got our own tools to be able to read in Word, emails, Excel, PDF, extracting the contents from orders and turning them into something else. And we've built our own tech to do it the other way as well, so we can pump out those sort of documents. So where your process requires that you need paper, but you know, anyone could go out there, someone else could have the same idea, they could go out there and build the same tech, same framework, very similar solution to us. I think what we have that is proprietary is the experience and the solutions, and have taken the time to build those solutions properly so that and our customers are happy.
Now, if you're using the Microsoft server side, which I agree is fine. I mean, we use it for Office 365. We use it on our email and IMAPs and all those things as well. If you've got clients, especially now your startups that have gone out and built in a Linux environment or PHP environment, and now they've grown and now they're drowning, okay? Because that, I would assume that's going to be a lot of the, besides your big clients and your big corporates, there's going to be a couple of your midterm guys that are like, they need to take the next step, and efficiency is one of them. Mm. How does that work? How do you involve, you know, because we always talk about this integrated world where everything talks to everything else.
So we're a service business. So we host our solution. We manage it on our customers' behalf, and they literally just come in via a browser, or they mail what, you know, the kickoff to the process, but they manage it all in our interface. We control it. And, you know, our view is that whatever technology you want to use in your back end, go ahead and do it. We'll find a way to integrate with it. Whether we're doing screen scraping, we're making a browser think that a human is using it, whether we're grabbing the output from your app, whether they're sending out emails, whatever, we'll make a plan to integrate what you have. In terms of, if we're going to take a step back and look at it from an industry perspective, I think if you're going down the Linux road or the Star Nix road, you need to know that whatever you're building, you're going to build your business on it, you're going to have enough support. I think the one thing missing in South Africa at the moment, and that I think is across the board, Unix, Microsoft, the works, is there's not enough skilled technicians. It's not enough people wanting to get into it. I just don't think, you know, it's a glamorous industry for people to be working in. And to be fair, I don't think the same motivations are in place now as they were when I was sort of 12, 13, and the first computer was put in front of me, and it was something that was exciting. And when your dad says, "I don't know how to work it," you figure out how to program the dad.
I'm like the toaster
still,
now.
But I think that's still
I'm going to say the video recorder, and the vast majority of people have no idea what I'm talking about.
As long as you don't say cassette, it's all right.
Well, hey, listen, cassettes are cool. I remember writing a program to figure out how I could take my entire music library and efficiently fit it on a 90-minute tape.
Sure, that's quite something.
Well,
I mean, I remember that with the tapes, how you had to put a little piece of paper in to stop them recording, or to be able to
get all nostalgic now. Stop crying now, won't you?
So, give us an example of like one of your industry type clients. If you can take us through that journey, just to help elaborate. Or
can I give you two?
You can give us three.
I'll give you two. So we've got opposite ends of the spectrum. So we have a client in the engineering sector. They manufacture the dish mounts for the square kilometer array. They manage these huge bins that go on the back of trucks that operate in open-cast mines. And theirs is a very complex business. And for them, we basically run their end-to-end procurement process. So for the point that job is created on their ERP system, we take over, we assist with the bill of materials, we select the suppliers that are going to bid, we manage the bid process, we tell the procurement director to go and adjudicate. We tell the engineer to go check the quality. We get on finance's case to sign off the purchase order. We issue the purchase order to the supplier. We put the supplier on notice to deliver. Because, I mean, obviously, when they bid, they say X many days.
Sure.
So, you know, we're doing all the things that a clerk would do, the picking up the telephone, the sending a mail, but you can't ignore us because there's measurement in place from start to finish. We were in the process of basically, we'll be bringing their goods in at the factory gate as well. So we'll be able to do end-to-end life cycle for a piece of procurement that says, this is how you performed. I mean, already we're measuring when the job gets created to when it gets distributed to suppliers, when it closes to how long does it take to adjudicate, engineer sign off, finance sign off, quality measurements, do the suppliers deliver on time? That's all delivered in a browser. Like, these guys use it on a big screen. They actually just walked up and tap it.
So now, when you say we, I mean, obviously...
So we, the royal we, the platform.
Does it... So all these transactions have to go through a server, which brings me to the security question. Mm. You know, if you get hacked, then how does that affect? Or is it actually you sitting more as a mirror? And it's still only the client that's going to be exposed?
No, so the client's not exposed at all.
Okay.
So we're responsible for holding the data around the end-to-end transaction. So we've taken a lot of precautions, expensive precautions, to ensure that that's not an issue. So we live in an extremely secure data center in Bryanston. I'm not going to give any green company an advert. You know, I sit two racks away from the banks. Okay. And you need to give blood samples and all sorts of stuff to get into this building in the first place. In terms of security, we have a finance customer, and they put an auditing firm in to come and do the security checks. And we got sort of clean bill of health there. So we're happy that from a platform and a developmental perspective, we're being careful. And then, you know, if a customer is looking at their data and going, well, we've got personal data and those kind of things involved, then we would take the next step and wrap it around and make it as secure as a banking site. You know, so it's very important. I mean, that's number one priority for us, is making sure it's secure. But we, you know, we've been in operation since October 2014.
Okay, so and you've definitely paid the school fees and gone through the hoops.
Every single day, some script kiddie somewhere is having a bash at our server farm, and you know, you look, you learn, you see what's happening, and you try to stop them doing it.
Well, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've got one telco customer, and the amount of abuse their website takes is absolutely insane.
You mean from people trying to hack into it? Yeah, really.
And the thing is, if you were a smart hacker, in fact, a hacker is actually a misnomer, because hackers are it's a compliment in certain. If you're a
black hat,
a crackhead moron who just was having a
hellbent
hashtag crackhead moron.
If you were just trying to get into the site, and you'd have to do some research. You know, this one customer, if they spent 20 minutes, half an hour looking at the architecture of the site and how everything works, they'd realize that the 20,000 attempts a second to try break in, it's just never going to succeed, because it doesn't take into consideration what sits behind. And it's, you know, for me, I make a good business out of dumbing things down, hiding the rocket science away, but it doesn't excuse you from having to actually pay attention.
So, I mean, just stay with the website, because that's obviously, for me, is quite an important part. That's where people come in and out of your view, and if they're placing their orders. So effectively, you have to host that then as well. So you've got to hold the whole digital footprint of the client.
Yes and no. Okay. So our service is not pretty. Okay, it's designed for purpose, fit for purpose, and we're not actually part of the customer's front end website. So they'll have a beautiful, well designed, hopefully no flash in their front end.
We don't flash.
Yeah.
Steve was right.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, that will be a separate entity altogether. We're hosting the process, and literally the only prettiness is the client's branding across the top of the site. The rest is all, it's fit for purpose. You were talking last week about servicing stuff over GPRS.
Yeah.
We're designed with that in mind. We serve only text. We don't put any heavy controls in. We make sure it's easy to use if you're standing in the pit in a mine in the Northwest Province, because we want our guys to be able to manage their processes.
That's pretty good. I mean, if you're preaching efficient processes, you can't have an inefficient process. So, no, I mean, done. The mechanic's car is actually fixed and working.
I'm eating my own dog food.
Woohoo!
I'm just smiling because I've been using DSTV now. I've been watching a lot of the Olympics. You know, stream it because you're out and whatever. You just log in. And there you still have to have the flash player. I mean, you've got a company that's owned by NASPAS. I mean, they're not Mickey Mouse. They should know better, and they're still running flash plugins. That's so. And I'm just thinking how you could come into that system.
So NASPAS aren't a client, so I'm just going to call them lazy.
Is it lazy? But this goes back to the service that you offer. And I asked that question early on. Is it lazy, or is it the fact that, you know, you're asking us to change? And let me finish that. Like, I've tried so many times to put a decent CRM system into my little company. We're a small company, but being an agency, we're client-centric. It's important that I remember to phone you at 12 o'clock when I said I'm going to phone you at 12 o'clock. So I go into Outlook and I put a little reminder and it goes, boom, phone Simon at 12 o'clock. It works. Okay. But it doesn't work when you scale and when you've got multiple jobs for the same client. So we've looked at CRM systems, we've put them in place, but they're only as good as the stuff you put in.
Yeah.
And that's the human side. In fact, I think I was reading on your website about like getting rid of inefficient humans. It's not like we're trying to get rid of humans, we're just trying to get rid of inefficiency. But,
I don't know if I used that term.
Well, but people, pen, paper, things that are deemed inefficient. Okay, and let's be honest, they are. But how do you get me to do what I need to do? You know, and is it, that's what I'm saying. Are they lazy, or is it just that we've become that way? We're just complacent.
I don't think lazy is the right term. I think there's lack of incentive.
Yeah,
so
that's a great. Yeah,
you know, do you guys do gamification and that kind of stuff?
Yes and no. So it's not a an area of expertise for us. We have clients that use the stick rather than the carrot.
I like that. You're not going home tonight. You will be populating.
Well, it's not so much that. It's a case of you were given this task.
Yes.
And you've got X amount of time to perform the task, and you haven't performed the task, we're going to tell your boss.
Yeah.
Okay. And if your boss doesn't see, doesn't do anything about it, we're going to start moving up the food chain, because as we know, it flows downhill. I think it's lack of incentive to move. I mean, why change your player?
Yeah.
And you've got to invest the money to do it until there is a loud enough noise to make you do it. People complain loud enough.
Yeah.
There has to be a desire for innovation up front.
You know what the funniest thing is? At the top level of most businesses, at the very bottom level, there is a desire to innovate. But the people that control the process, that have the power, who sit
are worried
in
where
middle
they are
management,
in their change.
That's the thing. They worry about losing control.
Yeah.
And a lot of the upfront work we do is persuading those people that we're going to make them look like rock stars.
Yeah.
Okay. That they're going to come out on top. As a result of this, they'll look good at doing their job.
Yeah,
and we need to talk about your leads.
But that's another part. I mean, we've got a couple of notes around innovation. We've called 2016 the year of innovation. One of the things is not only to have a desire for innovation, but to also go beyond your comfort zone, and that's where you find true innovation. It's at that point of change that's maybe just outside your reach, where you say, "Well, that would actually be quite nice."
Look, I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm actually going to add one extra point then. Say you need to be pragmatic innovation.
Yes. You don't jump off a cliff just to see if you can fall.
Don't jump off a cliff to see if you can fly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go throw a paper plane off.
Yeah.
Then go get a drone. Then go, you know.
Find a bridge.
Take steps to do it. You tackle the little piece of pain first.
I'm laughing because we were talking about this this week and we're saying, can you imagine the first caveman that... They wear those big woolly mammoth clothing. They go to the riverbank, and they jump in and they go ooh, and they drown. And the others are looking and they're going, "Well, okay, we can't walk or talk underneath
Biff
that stuff."
Well,
it
Biff didn't
work.
Come back. Oh well.
But it's true though. I love that. Throw a paper plane, and you know what? It's not a big loss. You know, it's a little bit of paper.
Sometimes it comes back.
Fail quickly. Fail small
and learn quick.
And learn quickly.
Yeah.
I mean the approach we take with our customers. If it doesn't work, we'll pull it out today.
Yeah.
And we'll replace it with something else that maybe is a little simpler, maybe takes a little more effort, and then in 3 months' time, we'll sneak the automated piece back in.
Yeah.
I mean, the second example I wanted to give you was for a medical device distributor.
Yeah, hopefully not the guys from McDonald's.
No, okay. Hell no. What they do is, as you know, anything in the medical industry involves a lot of paper. You've got to sign a heck of a lot of stuff off. Yep. And what these guys were finding is they were maxing out the number of patients they could sign up for their devices in a given period of time. You would hire a rep, and that rep could only do so many people in a week, because got to go to the doctor, got the doctor to fill it in, the patient to fill it in, the medical aid to fill it in, all of those kind of things. And you'd walk around with a 1-inch thick file of paper. So we took that process, and I'm going to say at the outset, basically, I think they grew 500% in the first 2 months where we replaced the paper. But all we've really done is said, all of that paperwork, we'll generate it for you when and if you need it. Let's go in and say, well, we collect the patient's detail once. We collect the healthcare professionals' details once. We collect the therapy details once. And then you map it around on a page for a while with the medical aid and the getting the payment and the back and forth. And we record all that messaging, effectively CRM, till you get to a point where you can go and you can do it. The nice thing is the rep can sit in front of the patient with his or her phone and go, fantastic, we're agreed. Done.
Yep.
Order's placed.
Yep.
And the nice thing there is, you know, the rep walks into the doctor's practice. They need to get a consent form signed. They ask the lady behind the counter, or the person behind the counter, what's your email address? On their phone, type it in, press a button, a mail arrives, and say, please print that out. Sign it. They take a photograph with their phone, and they say, please put that in the patient's file. We've now done a consent, which could have taken a week before, in about 2 minutes. And they walk away, and they've got all the documentation they need to progress it through, where... You know, the arbiter at the end is generally the medical aid company. They want everything. But now they have everything because they just come to us and they go, oh, everything's there. And if they need something, they press a button and we go generate the document out for them.
It's the same as the banks. The banks are hounding me to go in to sign a document that I have signed 40 times over the years that I've banked for this. And I've said to my personal banker, you've got it. I keep getting these SMSs. This is the second warning. And I said to if they were only as efficient in the admin department, they could go and open the file. It's digital. They've got it. You know?
I think there's a lot of our customers come back and say, we wish you could work in that space because really.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, that's you're really hitting your head against the wall even trying that. I mean,
look, I have all the industry qualifications in financial services and stuff like that, and I have to admit I'm so happy not to be in it anymore.
Have you noticed the broker? I mean, you come from the insurance. Once a year, my broker will come and see me, and he comes with a. I know people can't see, but
so keen at the beginning of the meeting, but, so yeah. dejected.
But
at the end.
You've got this file. He's prepared all these quotes. It's the same thing over and over and over again. I go no, okay. Yeah. But then he can't remember which one I'd said no to, so we've got to go back through the pile again. So now I've just said to him in advance, don't come with your pile. Send me an email with the pros and cons of that. Proposal or that change in the policy, I'll agree. You'll bring one piece of paper.
Stick
sign
me
it.
Through the algorithm, dude.
But that is, if he's adopting that process, he's making the whole decision-making tree. He's reducing it from a week's worth of work on his side and a two-hour meeting with you to a 30-second glance at the pros and cons. Problem solved. Client, you know, the insurer's happy because they now have a renewal or they have a new customer. But do you think they will go and look back down into the process? No, because what they have works for them now, and they won't change until they're forced to, either by law, regulation, or because they're suffering massive customer loss.
Do you think this transparency of process is actually going to start making business become a lot more integrous with the way they... You can't bullshit people with... You can't baffle them with bullshit anymore.
You won't have a choice.
You've got the truth in front of you now.
It's a key part of what we do, is that in... Every participant in a transaction on our platform can see where they were involved.
Exactly.
You can't hide. You can't hide.
Yeah.
You know, if you got awarded the piece of work,
up is up.
There it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. If you didn't, there's all the documentation to say why.
Yeah.
And because we're a third party, an independent provider, nobody can point a finger.
Yeah. That's actually important. We've got to wrap it up, but quickly, where to from here? Where next? I mean, you guys have been going for 2 years. You've gotten as acknowledged that you guys are aspiring innovators. What's the next step?
Probably to move the platform outside of South Africa.
Okay.
So, you know, we're looking at customers
Africa?
In Europe.
Okay.
Well, we're looking... The nice thing about being a digital platform is we can serve it anywhere.
Cool.
So, that is true. I speak English. I don't speak any of the languages that are spoken on the continent in Africa. So, the first place you go is the UK. Try Australia.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
Everybody has opposable thumbs for the most part. So
there you go. Two forefingers or two thumbs is all you need to use our platform. Wherever you got those in a smartphone, you know, we'll try to solve your problem.
Excellent.
Right. Hotspot for you, buddy.
Cool.
Thought of the day.
Well, I'm going to cheat a little because I've kind of prepared this a bit already. But it leads to innovation and what we believe it to be. But in order to do extraordinary things, we have to always think outside the box. We should be always pushing the boundaries of innovation. And you should think bigger than you are now. Think to where you could be. Be brave enough to get there as well. The only way to really keep growing as an aspiring innovator or an aspiring entrepreneur is to keep growing and keep challenging yourself for the more. And I think we're in a great space. It's going to yield so many amazing results, as always. I think I say that every week. But
as always.
We meet so many amazing guests, and it really is just proof that we are moving forward into a great space.
I like it. Simon, thank you again for your time.
It's been a pleasure coming.
And we'll be speaking to you again soon, I'm sure.
Excellent.
And Brett, until next time, keep
Cheers.
Your screens clean and your knobs shiny. Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.